Van Special, good morning and thank you for joining us. Morning Drive Hour 3 is off and running here on a Tuesday. ESPN 102.5 The Game, Nikhil Braden-Gall, Derek Mason, Josh Upton in for Chase McCabe today. Predators lose last night 2-1 in overtime. Game 6, the series is over. Dallas wins 4-2. Jeremy Roenick hopefully coming up in a couple of moments. We'll talk to Chris Mason coming up in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. But as we kind of get back to, you know, where we started the show 2 hours ago, I mentioned coming out right at 6 o'clock. As I was driving in this morning, I was thinking about David Poile last summer immediately after the Winnipeg series. And I'm paraphrasing when he said, you know, we feel good about our team, that if we were to basically run that series back, you know, we feel like we could win that series as is. I think if he was asked that question this morning, or at least in my opinion, if they ran that series back against Dallas tonight, if game one was tonight and we were redoing the best of seven, I believe Dallas would win the series and they would win it in less than seven again.
Yeah, I'm not going to agree with that, but I don't think this series was a coin flip, right? So it wasn't close. Dallas was the better team. I think if they played again, Nashville could win the series. I'm not going to suggest that things don't change in sports.
Of course they can.
Right. But I think the main point here is that you could argue that the Winnipeg series was a coin flip. You cannot argue that this series was a coin flip. The better team was the Dallas Stars.
All right, we've got Jeremy Roenick with us, analyst for the NHL on NBC. JR, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Sorry about the loss.
No worries. I know you were excited to get back to Nashville at some point in May and June. You've made that pretty well clear on this show. So I'll ask you right out of the gate here, when you look at the way this series played out, now granted, last night was unbelievably entertaining and it was competitive, but the first five games, Dallas really dictated things. How surprised were you that Dallas pretty much controlled the terms of this series?
Well, it didn't surprise me at all, to tell you the truth. You know, I picked Nashville in seven games only because of home ice advantage, but what you've seen in the playoffs this year, home ice advantage doesn't mean too much. But if you see, you know, the way the teams came down the stretch, you know, the Dallas Stars were playing some really good hockey for the last 2 months, and actually for being out of their character, were scoring a lot of goals, and their goaltender had the best goals against average in the league. You look at what happened with the Nashville Predators. Number one, their special teams, especially their power play, was last in the league. Their scorers went dry. And, you know, you can't go into the playoffs expecting to turn it right on. What happened in the playoffs, exactly what we talk about night in, night out, that, you know, in order to win playoff games, you have to have your best players be your best players, and special teams has to be good. And for Nashville, neither of those happened. So, you know, there's no keys to the recipe. You just got to get it done.
Hey, Jer, obviously you were a very physical player and played in a different era where the game has sort of opened up and it's more about speed and skill, and that's pretty obvious. We've talked about that for years now. Victor Arvidsson now has two really good postseasons under his belt, and he's got two bad postseasons under his belt. You can sort of write off the first one because he was 22 and not physically developed yet. It's hard to write off this one. As you just mentioned, stars need to be stars. Ryan Ellis has been a great player in this league, although undersized, for the last four or five seasons, and pretty hollow numbers this year and has disappeared in the postseason. Do you have an issue with the size of some of these players being an issue moving forward, or do you think that they're okay and they just played poorly?
No, I don't, because look at Rocco Grimaldi, smallest guy in the National Hockey League. Every time the kid was on the ice, the kid was effective. He was speedy. He made plays. He was the leading scorer for the team. You know, it comes down to doing the right thing at the right time and not being denied. And do it, getting it done. I'm a fan of Arvidsson. He works really hard, but you know, sometimes you do fall into that trap where you get frustrated, where you make the wrong decisions at the wrong time. You know, he had a great year. Unfortunately, he couldn't do it in the playoffs, and he's gonna have to live with that all summer. As is Johansson, as is Forsberg. Each of them scored one goal, each in playoffs. That's just, you know, it's hard. It's a hard game. And, you know, when you have a team that doesn't have very much secondary scoring, a team like Dallas can take away that top line and improve your chances of winning. Kyle Turris can't play in the league anymore. He's too slow. He's too weak. And, you know, all he's doing is taking somebody's job right now. And it's frustrating watching.
Now, we see how this series went for the Nashville Predators. We saw how it went last year, and during the offseason, this thing pretty much stayed intact. They made some move during the trade deadline. And, you know, the Bulls, the Simmons, it was the Granlunds, McLeod. They didn't quite hit the way the Nashville Predators wanted them to. What do you think is next for this team as they head into the offseason?
Well, I mean, they still have a really good base. Their defense is great. You know, although what you said about Ellis being small and everything, he's got a huge, huge competitive edge. Ekholm is great. Josi is great. So I think your base is awesome on defense. Pecorine is still fantastic, as we saw how he played last night. Where I think you need to look is down the middle again. I just mentioned Kyle Turris. You're not getting any production from him as a second line center. I think Bonino is good for what he does, but he's not going to be a point getter. He's going to be very valuable on the defensive aspect of the game. But you just need a couple other guys that are going to chip in offensively. I like the moves getting Boyle. He's a good character guy. Is he a little slow and maybe a little bit too old for the game? Maybe. There's a lot of people that would argue that. Simmons got into injury problems. He had a tough year, and the tough year just seemed to spill over into injuries in the off season or towards the end of the season. But he's still a quality guy to have on your team. Nashville is still in a good situation as personnel goes, but they just have to, again, find a way to get things done and find a way to be successful. It's always the magic potion, right? And it comes down to work and not being denied. You see what happened with Columbus. Who's got a better lineup, Columbus or Nashville? I think Nashville has a better roster, and it just comes down to work and getting it done.
Jeremy Roenick, NHL on NBC, is our guest here on Morning Drive. So there's a contingent of the fan base that loves to say, well, Peter Laviolette has a shelf life. The narrative is he runs his course, loses his message, and then he burns out, and it's time to move on. I was there in Philadelphia when he coached the Flyers, and I think there's something to that. I don't believe we're at that point yet with Peter Laviolette. That could change in the next 1, 2, or 3 years. Where are you? What do you see from the head coach as far as the players responding to him, the message, and that narrative that Peter Laviolette has this little window everywhere he goes?
Well, he's definitely a guy that wears his heart on his sleeve. There's no question, and he's not a rah-rah, I'm gonna pat you on your back all the time type of coach. And at some points, there are players in this generation that don't react well when they don't get positive feedback all the time. But a lot of coaches. I think every coach pretty much has that little window. You see how many coaches get recycled and regurgitated back into one team after another team, and it's the same thing. It's that the players lose faith or get sick of the narrative or get sick of the voice and then stop playing, which I think is embarrassing, but it happens a lot. And I think he's a very, very good coach. He's proven to be a very good coach, but once winning stops happening and you start, once losing happens, then the money that the team makes stops growing. And when that happens, that's when the big decisions are made. So let's just hope he has a job for a couple more years.
Real quickly, Jared, take us through what the players are going through now. You lose a playoff series. Did you guys talk a lot when you lost a playoff series? Did you communicate a lot with each other? Did you have meetings? Did you address stuff, or did you just put it away and try to move on and get healthy again, essentially?
No, you want to get out of Dodge as fast as possible. You're so mad, you're so disappointed. The fact that you have to stick around a couple of days and go clean out your locker and talk to the coaches for exit physicals and exit meetings is a pain in the ass. And you just want to get out and go decompress and get away from the game, because it is a long season. It's mentally grinding, it's physically grinding, and then after a few weeks, a month, you get back into the swing of things, start working out again and get ready for the next season. But you want nothing to do with the game today.
Jeremy Roenick, great stuff as always. Jared, we're sorry we couldn't get you back to Nashville for the months of May and June. I know you wanted to get down here.
I'm very bummed. Broadway was looking really good to me.
Yes, it was. Jared, thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
You got it. Jeremy Roenick, NHL and NBC.
He did look kind of disappointed, like, going into...
Oh, yeah?
Like, on the... like, and he's not a guy that has a ton of emotional reaction on the TV set anyway, but he definitely looked like... He's like, oh... going into overtime. Like, he looked like he was just like... It's like, come on, Nashville, get us back to Broadway.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take your reaction to Jeremy Roenick. He had a couple of good things to say. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And you also have some numbers over there as well, correct?
I do.
All right, we'll get to that when we come back. Morning Drive here on a Tuesday on ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Oh, I got more than numbers for you because you guys are, you know, sad. Preds lose last night. You need some positive news. And the positive news is that Spring Hill Heating and Cooling has doubled in size to double their efficiency to take care of their your house. They've already done nearly two decades of work in this market, taking care of your house. They've already proven it to you guys who have used them, and they have come to your house, whether you joined the Comfort Club or you needed a big repair. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling has proven themselves to Middle Tennessee to be an effective and reliable, quality, premium service to your house to keep your HVAC units up and running and keeping your house running smoothly and efficiently, which, by the way, saves you money. But now they're so good at it because you guys have used them for so many years now. They're doubling in size. This is the great news. They're doubling in efficiency, and they're doubling in coverage area. They're now got a second office out on Highway 100, south of Dixon. They're now going to service Dixon and Bon Aqua and Fairview and all those great places out there in the west side. They now are taking care of more people more effectively, more efficiently, but with the same great premium service, locally owned. You can get to the top. If you need to talk to the boss man, you can talk to Kevin. They've got the same great service and all the same great prices. They're just doubling the ability to cover your house and their territory and do it more efficiently, right? More people means easier appointments, means more customer service. So all the stuff that they've been offering for nearly two decades, now they can do it twice as well. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, check them out. They're the only company to go with to take care of your home if you want to save some money. SpringHillAC.com is the website. SpringHillAC.com. We're not using the other guys anymore. Only Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, the website. SpringHillAC.com. Tell them Braden sent you.